Let's be honest, surveys aren't cutting it anymore. Response rates are low, focus groups take weeks, and at the end of it all, you still don't know how people really feel. Talkalytics changes that. Talkalytics is a voice-based feedback platform that captures what your customers are saying and how they're saying it. Tone, emotion, sentiment, the stuff that actually drives decisions. Whether you're testing brand messaging, creative, product concepts, or just want to know if your campaign is hitting the mark, Talkalytics gives you answers that go way beyond the checkbox. Emotionally connected customers spend twice as much. If you want to create real connection, it starts by listening differently. Head to talkalytics.com/getinsights to see how it works. That's talkalytics.com/getinsights. Talkalytics, because the voice always tells you more. Listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded live at Advertising Week Europe 2025 in London, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technology communities. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, left a positive review, or shared with your friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the AW360 podcast, where we're recording live from Advertising Week Europe 2025 here at 180 Studios in London. I'm joined today by Tanya Field, Chief Product Officer and co-founder of Novatique. Tanya, welcome.
Good morning. Very pleased to meet you.
Very pleased to meet you. For starters, tell us about Novatique.
So Novatique is a company that basically enables telcos to help everyone in the ad tech environment overcome the challenges of the post third-party cookie and changes in the infrastructure of the advertising ecosystem.
Excellent. Well, that leads to one of my favorite topics, privacy. You know, we're well into the post GDPR world now, but many, perhaps even most websites still aren't fully compliant and consumers are catching on. I may even be one of them. Why do you think so many brands are still struggling to get privacy right in 2025?
I think they're probably struggling because they are following the regulation in terms of what it says they have to do, and that doesn't necessarily translate into a meaningful application of how to deliver those privacy-enhancing experiences for the consumer. So I think the problem is the difference between meeting regulation and actually making it something that they follow through end to end. So most of them, I think, want to work within the constraints of being privacy compliant. I know that around 75% of websites and apps apparently aren't privacy compliant, but I don't believe that's deliberate. I think it's more to do with the fact that they don't effectively follow through that privacy journey end to end for the consumer. So along the edges, the privacy scenario bleeds out, if you like. And that's why there's a lack of trust from the consumers, because they realize that their data is being used when they may have said that they don't want it to be used. But it is a case of joining the end to end journey for privacy together, as far as I'm concerned.
So of that 75%, would you say that a lot of them are trying, but they're just not quite sure how to fully be compliant then?
Yeah, I think they're trying. But then what happens is there's a lot of downstream elements with privacy, right? So you might ask up front, are you happy for us to do this? Will you opt in to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And then you do it. And then behind the scenes, the consumer says, well, I no longer want that to happen, or I'm not happy with my data being used for this reason. And then I think it's the follow through of those items. So on the face of it, they're behaving following the privacy rules. But then I think it's the follow through that's not necessarily there. Of course, in some instances, it may be that the initial privacy elements are not there. I can't actually speak to
sure
whether people do that or not. But I do think it's more around the follow through and then making sure that they're effectively delivering with that end to end privacy requirement.
Interesting. You know, it's been said that privacy can be a competitive advantage, not just a legal box to tick. How do you think advertisers actually use privacy-first strategies to build real loyalty and trust with their audiences?
So I think we're starting to see the emergence of that now, right? I don't think it's something that's well-honed, but I think privacy-first strategies can be used by advertisers for all of the individuals that interact with their brands. So effectively, they can say, we will understand what you're interested in engaging with us on. We will use that sensibly. We won't let anybody misuse it. And we can leverage the benefit of our own understanding of you as a consumer that's interested in our brand to ensure that we keep you engaged end to end, but we also maintain the sanctity of the use of your own information. Because let's not forget, a lot of consumers really want privacy to be upheld, but they also don't want to go back to the days of spam, right? Yeah. So 60% of consumers want to get an experience online that is personalized to them, because all of us are exposed to advertising online. We can't get away from it. And the reality is the days of spam are still with us and they're getting worse right now. So I think consumers want that balance between I'm happy to have a relationship with certain brands and I'm probably happy to share my information as long as I know it's kept safe and secure and it's only used within the constraints of what I've said it can be used for.
It's interesting you clarified that. When you originally said the days of spam, I'm thinking, I haven't left the days of spam. I'm still getting plenty, so.
Exactly, and I think that's getting worse with all the changes in the ecosystem, right? So I don't think it's getting any better at all.
Yeah. With third-party cookies going extinct and then not, and then again, maybe, and then not, and the back and forth that we've all had to endure over the past several years, a lot of advertisers are still scrambling, and I think understandably so. What's broken about that old model, and what should they be doing instead to avoid wasting budget?
So interestingly, the old model was a great model, not for the consumer, where it followed you around everywhere and it picked up loads of bits of information and then it reused it basically at will, right? That is obviously completely broken because that is not a privacy secure environment for any consumer. And also it's misinformed because in a lot of instances, the data was incorrect. A lot of mishmash of probabilistic data doesn't make for a good customer experience. And for me, being online, I think for a lot of people, being online is about making sure that you receive a customer experience that works for you. That's quite broken at the moment, right? The way that we need to look at this is, I think, to safeguard the sanctity of the individual, that we don't distribute data in the bid stream. I don't think any data should be distributed in the bid stream, even if it's from a customer that's opted in and said that they're happy for their data to be used. Mm-hmm. I think it should be a private exchange of information to enable advertising to be delivered to a consumer on the basis that the consumer has wholeheartedly agreed to that happening for that purpose and with those particular brands, for example. And that information should never be distributed. It should be exchanged at the point of use when the advert is delivered. So I believe in dynamic transactional IDs. I don't actually think that we should be living in a world of universal IDs.
You had mentioned telco verified IDs, which sounds super interesting. I don't know as if too many people, myself included, quite understand what those are. Can you break down how they work and why they're a smarter way to target in our privacy first era?
Of course. So telco verified IDs rely on the fact that telco networks are real time. Okay. So when we go and navigate our way to open a web page or an app using our phone, it happens almost instantaneously. It's real time or near real time. To do that, the network has to be able to understand what device is opening up that web page. Okay. So telco verified IDs use exactly that process to recognize when a user goes online to a site, it is able to link that user at the point in the network to that device, and then can obfuscate that ID. So nobody ever sees who that user is. Nobody's got any idea. We're recognizing an ad slot, if you like. Mm-hmm. But then we can link an audience cohort to that ad slot, as long as we have consent from that consumer to actually do that. Okay. And then that's delivered in real time pre-bid, and then it evaporates. So there is no information left. And all it's doing is verifying that it's a user. The other benefit is the networks are obviously the ones that spend an awful lot of money on anti-fraud. So we know that it's an absolute human that's actually going to that particular website and seeing that ad surface.
It's interesting. That feels like something that should have been around a long time ago and in heavy use.
Yeah, I think it's a big shame that that solution or these solutions have not been made available previously. They are incredibly secure. There's nothing more secure than a network, right?
Yeah.
So ultimately, it's a closed firewall environment and the linking can be done and it's an absolute link. There's no probabilistic elements to it. So for me, and I'm ex-telco, I used to work at Telefonica, I think the telco should have been able to provide this service long before. But don't forget, it wasn't needed. The third-party cookie was there. And you need a need to drive something to be brought to market.
Excellent point. You know, for brands that want to boost ROAS without crossing the privacy line, where would you tell them to start? What's the one thing they can do right now to future-proof their strategies?
So I would tell them that they need to look really carefully at gathering the permission from their users. And they should do that through a combination of working on both authenticated IDs, because some people want the depth of the relationship with the brand and they want to log in. And then they should understand that they need to complement that with secure ID strategies that enable them to link 100% privacy control to those ID strategies.
Last question of the day. We're at Advertising Week Europe. Busy. It's just only day one. Anything in particular here that you're looking forward to?
Basically seeing where we're at this particular moment in time, given the never-ending cookie debate vis-a-vis Google, seeing what people are thinking, whether they are really ready to take that move wholesale into changing behaviors.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Tania. If somebody wanted to find out more about Novateek, where should they go?
Novateek.com.
Well, what could be easier? Thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including The Trustmakers, our podcast with the Edelman Trust Institute, now in its fourth season. You'll find all of Advertising Week's podcasts at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.